SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every time we can. I'm Clint, he's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We are here. There's a lot of things that happened in the NBA. A lot of things going on. Crazy. A lot of things happening in the MCU. What if? What if?
I haven't been watching it, Cliff.
Madam Web?
Is it good?
What if this is so
what
bad?
What is that?
It's so bad.
I'm just kidding. I know, but...
You know.
But hey, I'm hearing great things about Daredevil Born Again.
Oh.
They're bringing back the old team. Old fight choreographer.
There you go.
Some of the
Bring
old...
Bring the band back together.
Yeah, some of the old actors are back. Karen's back. Foggy's back.
Oh, it's all happening. It's all happening. There you go. That's a step in the right direction, guys. All right. We're going to talk about Adrian Griffin. We're going to talk about Doc Rivers. We're going to talk about the Suns. We're going to talk about Chet, and we're going to talk about Wemby. But we got to take a double step back looking at the news. Joe, Terry Rozier is now on the Heat.
Woo! Crazy. Very sad because he's on my fantasy team, and I know he's not going to get the numbers he was getting.
He's not in Charlotte anymore.
In Charlotte on the Heat. But and it looks like two games in, it's looking like some growing pains. He's averaging like 8 points, I believe. So,
even with a lot of minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I had a feeling that's how it would be. Rozier's a very, very, very rhythm player.
Yeah.
And so he is not going to be good on the Heat for about, I give him like 6 more games. Maybe 8 to 10 games in, he's going to find his rhythm. Mm. He's going to have a 30 or 40 ball, you know, in there. And they'll realize like what he can do. But for now, as I texted you, it depends on whether they can get him to play defense. If they can get him to play in their scheme and just provide some offense, because their offense is terrible, I think he's going to help. Not crazily, but he's going to marginally help them.
Yeah, he needs to be Scary Terry again. It's been a long time.
It's tough. I mean, nobody was watching when he was in Charlotte, but he turned into a very good... more complete all-around player, but he doesn't play defense. Like I watch a lot of Charlotte games the past two, three seasons, and man, he gambles so much, right? And on the Heat, I don't think that's gonna really fly with Spo. So he has to learn to be way more disciplined. If he can learn, he has defensive tools. If he can learn that, I think he will be very helpful to the Heat because he's definitely going to help on offense. They just – their offense is – man, it is stuck in the mud all the time.
Joel Embiid dropped 70 and Kat dropped 62 on the same night. Which was more impressive to you?
Why you got to – that's so messed up. They lost to the Hornets, the aforementioned terrible Hornets. Terry Rozier was barely alive that game. He probably already knew he was getting traded. I saw him. I was watching the game. I'm like, what is wrong with him? Like, why isn't he playing? He's like, he barely looked like conscious out there. Oh, gosh. How did they lose that game? Just immaturity, like pure and simple. And said it after the game. Everybody said it after the game. They were being immature. They were chasing 100, I think they said. What? I mean, that's not just emotional immaturity. That's mathematical immaturity. You really thought he was going to get
it's a crime against logic. It's a crime against math.
You really thought he was going to get 100? I mean, come on.
He had a lot of missed shots in that fourth quarter. A lot of missed shots.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why I don't believe in the Timberwolves. I don't care if they're ranked 1 in the West. You think that matters? Anyway, on the flip side, somebody we do care about and believe in, Joel Embiid.
Yep.
70 points joins Book, Dame, Spida, David Robinson, the Admiral, Elgin Baylor, David Thompson, and of course, Kobe Bean Bryant. And, you know, Will Chamberlain did it like 50 times or whatever. He scored 70 many, I don't know, five, six, eight times, whatever. But those are the only players to be in the 70-plus club. Congrats, Embiid. Amazing performance. Deserves praise.
Dominant. Just Cat Will, dominant.
Cat Will appropriately be forgotten. No one will ever remember that he scored 62 and lost to the Hornets the same night that Embiid scored 70, the same day that Kobe Bryant scored 81 on the Raptors on that fateful day in 2006. So,
clap it up. Clap it up for Joel Embiid.
For Embiid.
Joe, the All-Star starters have been released. LeBron is now sitting atop the mountain at 20 All-Star appearances. Crazy. Joe, any surprises for you?
Not really. I mean, no surprises for me. There is a player in the East, a guard ranked 111.
Oh.
Player rank, fan rank, media rank.
Oh, wow.
Tyrese Haliburton. I believe, Cliff, it was my preseason pick to go up to elevate himself.
It's true.
Your boy is also on there, Eastern Conference. He is way 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, way at the bottom. Bottom of the list, Mikal Bridges.
But he made it. Yeah.
But he's on there. He's on there. So,
Joe, halfway through the season, you still feel good about our top 50 list?
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, look, there's one real bad player who just shouldn't be on there. Cliff really wanted him. I didn't want him. Josh Giddey. But other than that guy.
Nothing's happening with him, FYI. Yeah. But instead of Giddey, we probably should have put Chet there. You know?
I mean, probably should have. Chet. You got Wemby.
You got Franz Wagner, Franz, your boy.
I love Franz. I mean, he's there, a lot of players. Şengün. Oh, my gosh. Şengün. Is like,
he's so good.
He's not a poor man's Jokic. He's a middle class Jokic. You know,
he's like pretty good. Every time you watch him, I'm like, oh, gee, are the Rockets
upper
for
middle
real?
Class Jokic. I mean, he's he's very good.
No one is Jokic, dude. No one is Jokic. That dude does not care about basketball. Have you seen?
I mean,
him
look,
Şengün
is upper middle class, and Jokic is Jeff Bezos, right? I mean.
Have you seen Jokic warm up? He just does whatever. He just shoots with his left hand. He like throws it around. Yeah. He just like airballs everything, and then he goes out 30-point triple double.
No, yeah, terrible game yesterday. He had a terrible game. 31-11-3. I mean, three assists. Jokic, really?
Yeah.
I need these. Like, what are you doing, dude? Fantasy victories. I mean,
he's so selfish. Three assists. Averages 10. Like, what? What are you doing, dude? Joe, last one, based on the All-Stars. Curry wants to have a three-point showdown against Sabrina Ionescu. But I'm also like, get Caitlin Clark in there, too.
What are you doing, dude? Why are you saying the names right? What do you want?
I want Caitlin Clark in there, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Get her in there. Amazing. Yeah. Dude, Caitlin Clark is legit. I like her more than Sabrina. I think Caitlin is a killer, dude. How many game winners has she had? From deep. She don't care. I like the swag on her. But yeah, I like this. I like this. Again, All-Star Weekend, it's a joke, right?
Do whatever.
Doesn't matter. So add more fun stuff.
Do whatever.
Do more fun stuff like this, right? If someone, and that's why I like Steph, right? He's willing to put his reputation on the line. Great. Do it. Let's go see. Let's go see who wins. Everybody wins here. Mm. All right, Joe, let's hit into it. We're going to play all day or cray cray because we gotta. Because the Bucks did something pretty cray cray, in my opinion. They fired Adrian Griffin and hired Doc Rivers. And Joe, they're paying $4 million a year until 2027 for Adrian Griffin. They just hired him.
Wow.
Joe, they're paying Coach Bud $8 million a year until 2025. Wow. And now they're paying Doc Rivers $12 million a year till 2027. They have so much money in coaches on payroll that aren't on their that aren't actually coaching, that aren't doing the job for them. What a life we live in. Joe Aldear cray cray, the Bucks firing their second head coach in less than a year.
So, okay, here's the thing. Okay. obviously it's cray cray.
Yeah.
But I don't hate the move.
Oh.
It's cray because here's I think hiring Adrian Griffin was more cray cray.
Yes.
That was the bad move. Yeah.
Yes.
And we talked about it. We were just talking about this, but pre-show.
Yeah.
Why did they hire Adrian Griffin? And you said many times that they should have gone after Nick Nurse.
There were five coaches that lost their job, and I couldn't believe Nick Nurse was available. I can't believe it.
You know what's crazy? Dude, Nick Nurse is definitely winning that situation. Look at the Raptors.
Look at the Raptors.
They basically gave up. They had Nick Nurse and somehow thought, oh, Nick Nurse, this championship-winning coach – it's the problem.
Yeah.
Not our roster or our players or, you know, anything else. It's Nick Nurse is the problem. And then now they're like, oh, I mean, less than a year later, they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, never mind. We quit. We quit basketball. We're going to give away some guys and we're going to get some other guys. And we're just going to try to be good in like 3 years. Like we're not trying to be good anymore right now. We're going to try to be good in Scottie Barnes's prime. You know, Scottie Barnes looks great, by the way.
He looks great.
They're like, yeah, let's give away everyone else.
Yeah.
Let's go get RJ Barrett, because I don't know. He's young. Maybe he'll get good one day. Quickly looks great for them, by the way. But
he's a bucket. He's a bucket. Yeah, he's the next Lou
Williams. We've known that. In New York, he was that.
We know. Lou Will.
Now, it does seem crazy. However, the Bucks, despite being, I think they were 30-13. Are they still, is it still the same record?
If I remember correctly, before you move on to that point, Adrian Griffin was the first of the coaching carousel to be hired.
Man.
What?
That is crazy.
If I remember correctly. I could be wrong.
If
but they so like to me, you could have got Nick Nurse, but you went after his assistant coach. Because you thought he was the mastermind behind all of this, right?
I don't know.
What?
Now again.
Why?
Despite them being 30-13 at the time of his firing, offensive rating is third, which is kind of interesting, given it seems like they have some offensive problems. But offense hasn't been their problem. Defense has been their problem. They're 20th. In defensive rating.
Which has been their calling card.
I mean, look, I don't know. Do you want to cover this Giannis stuff?
So people are asking why did this happen, right? To me, it's obvious that Giannis just didn't like him. Right. There is actually, so Giannis said this a few weeks before the firing. He said, we have to have a plan. What's our strategy? Are we going to give up a lot of open threes? Are we going to let them get in the paint when they go in the post? Are we going to stay with ours and play one-on-one? What is our strategy? Because right now, we're giving up everything. That's what he said. So a lot of them just say, you know, there's a lot of reports that Adrian Griffin lost the trust of the players, things of that nature, likely because maybe he didn't have defensive schemes or whatnot. I don't know if that's true. I just think whatever defensive scheme he probably had wasn't working. There's an internet rumor that said he wanted to get rid of Thanasis and use that roster spots for someone that's actually good.
Wow.
And Giannis was not okay with that. And then in the capest of all caps, after of course, Adrian Griffin was fired, Giannis says, oh, I love Adrian Griffin. I loved him. Like, what? Capest of all caps, because after the first game after Adrian Griffin was fired, all the Bucks during the introduction were dancing the dance of all dances. Like
they brought out the
like
guns? They were doing like, the gun dances?
Like, they were celebrating so hard. Ja Morant was, like, jealous. He was like, oh, shoot. I got to add that to my arsenal. Literally.
My arsenal? I see what you did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Cliff, I don't know if firing Adrian Griffin less than a year in is the cray-crayest, but I know for sure that hiring Doc Rivers is the cray-crayest. Why? You fired? Look, clearly something wasn't going – something wasn't right. Chemistry – if your star player, your MVP player, has a problem with the coach, I mean, he got to go, right? Like, I get that. Why did they hire Doc Rivers?
I don't even know if they interviewed anyone else. Or even if they interviewed him. Maybe they got on a phone call. Because it happened like this.
So
like
fast.
Instantly.
Well, apparently, I mean, I read that Doc Rivers was advising.
I see.
On the Adrian Griffin situation.
I see.
You know, probably not the best thing. I think I saw someone on the internet say it's kind of like dating your therapist after the divorce. Probably not the – well, this is like marrying the therapist, right, I guess. Yeah, it's not kosher. I mean, it's not very ethical, it seems. Something weird was going on. But in any case, what's going on with just the personnel office over at the Bucks in Milwaukee? Have they not hired people before? Have they not done interviews before? Like, what's going on? How come they're just taking the first guy that they talk to every time?
This is the situation where you get wowed by an interview. We've seen this before with the Lakers, right?
Oh, gosh.
Like, wow.
Cliff, remember
last...
Do
you not think anybody is going to wow you during an interview?
Cliff, remember remember last time how we talked about... there's your super picky friend.
Yeah.
The super picky friend who's like... Yeah. You know, getting up there, but they keep swiping left. You know, this is the total opposite person, right?
Yeah.
This is someone says hi, and they're on one knee, and the ring's out, and they're just like, marry me.
It's the Ted Mosby. it's the Ted Mosby.
You're right.
Right? The one that says, I love you on the first date.
In the first 10 minutes.
And that's how the show starts.
Oh, man.
So,
do we need to go over Doc Rivers' resume?
We've done this so many times. Let's go quick, okay?
Yeah.
I'll go quick.
Yeah.
Doc's been a head coach for 24 seasons, if people haven't known. He's done it 24 times. Four different teams. 24 times. He's coached T-Mac, KG, Pierce, Allen, Rondo, Chris Paul, Blake, DeAndre, Harden, Simmons, Embiid. He's been to only two finals in 24 seasons. And no one has milked one championship more than that 08 Celtics team. No one has milked more than that 08 Celtics team.
On the back of that one championship. Oh, my gosh.
Joe, he has two finals appearances in 24 seasons. There have been seven teams in NBA history that have blown a 3-1 series lead. He has three. He has three. And famously, of course, you say, there's only been one coach that has blown
two 3-1 series leads. And there's only one coach who has blown three 3-1 series leads. It's the same guy. Just to make it clear that no other coach has blown more than one 3-1 series lead.
He's blown four 3-2 series leads. He's 16-33 in closeout games.
Gosh.
He's 6-10 in game sevens. Joe, why do people still give this guy a job? We've seen this movie a million times. Fast and Furious. You know what's going to happen. Trailer drops. Boom. Dom says, it's all about family. Villain appears, blows up something. Boom. Aerial shot of the city. Throwing some beats. Boots, boots, boots. Flashes of girls, cars, explosions. Tyrese saying a funny quip. I can't do this no more. Boom. Fast Furious 20. Where okay. Doc Rivers gets another job.
But here's the thing, Cliff. I like Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
This is not Fast and Furious at this point. You know, this is something else. I don't know what this is, but this is like, I don't know, Sharknado 7.
24.
Return of the Great White. Like, I don't know what it is, but yeah. Oh, yeah, 25. Sharknado 25. Maybe at like Sharknado 8, you're thinking, oh, maybe it's different though. Maybe this one will be different. You know, I mean, I know that the previous 7, remember two was real good, and then, you know, like, I know the previous 5 or 6 haven't been good, but you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to turn this franchise around.
If Kevin Feige never had any of the good Marvel movies. Only the bad ones and the Marvel TV shows. But, he had Civil War. It's like, oh, but he'd had Civil War. He could do it again. He had Civil War. But you, like, turn a blind eye to She-Hulk. Turn a blind eye to all these Ms. Marvel.
Gosh.
Turn a blind eye to all these things. Why do people do that? Why?
I don't know. This, to me, doesn't make any sense. I don't think...
No one's happier to see Doc Rivers coaching than the Celtics. Let me tell you that right now. They were like, there goes our threat.
Apparently, the Celtics fans, Heat fans, and Philly fans all united together on Twitter to mock the Bucks. After this series of moves, this is a disaster. I don't know.
It's a disaster. Look, it's bad.
I was really rooting for the Bucks, but how can you root for the Bucks now? I mean, is there anything more predictable than being up 3-1 on the Celtics in the
They'll
Eastern?
Be up 3-2 this time. 3-2.
Or in the
Or will he be the
round?
Fourth coach? Only one coach to blow 4-3-1 series leads.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's what I want to happen, Cliff. More than anything, I want them to be up 3-1 on the Heat in the second round, and I want them to lose a 3-1 series lead. That would be great. That would be the best thing that could ever happen to this podcast.
All right, Joe, let's move on. Are the Suns for real? Because the Suns, they're now 5th in the West, 26-18. Beal, Book, and KD have played 13 games together. They're 9-4 together. They're on a 7-game win streak, and they've done it comeback style. Down 23 to the Bulls in the third. They've come back to win that game. Down 14 to the Mavs in the first half, but they won on a 60-24 run. Mm. And then the biggest fourth quarter comeback all time, outside of one in the bubble. Teams with 22-point deficits in the fourth quarter were 0 and 1,244.
Wow.
And then the Suns did it. Book, he's 28-4-7 in January on 53%. KD, 27-7-5 on 54%. Beal, 25-5 on 52% in January. They're all shooting over 50% in January. All over 20 points per game. But crazier is Grayson Allen shooting 49% this season from three. Joe, all day or cray-cray, the Suns will make the Western Conference Finals.
All day? I don't know. The only reason I say that is, who else is even in the West?
Yeah, because if it's not them, it's going to be some inexperienced newbie, right? Because Denver got one on lock. Then the other team will be Minnesota, who we just went over. No one believes it.
And then
OKC,
OKC
with zero experience.
They haven't even been to the playoffs. Zero they're going to suddenly they're going to go from no playoffs to Western Conference Finals?
Or the four-star LA Clippers, 2011 All-Star team Clippers. Or Phoenix. That's it.
Clippers look good, but as we all know, the Clipper Curse is undefeated. I don't really think that they're going to defeat the Clipper Curse. So you got Clipper Curse, Timber Pups still. They just proved that they are bad at maturity and math.
Timber Kids. Timber Kids.
And Timber Kids, yeah. And OKC, I mean, that just seems – it seems just on the basis of likelihood, like, they should make it. And by the way, they are playing very good basketball.
They are great. They're wonderful.
Past 15 games. Past 15 games, Cliff, they're 12-3. Best in the NBA over that stretch.
Yeah.
Net rating, 7.5. That's good for 6th. Offensive
OKC
rating.
OKC or the Suns?
The Suns.
Yeah.
The Suns, yeah. 12-3. 6th in net rating, 4th in offensive rating. Defensive rating, top 10. So for the season, their numbers don't look good as a team. They're kind of very middling. But
they've only played 13 games altogether.
Lately. And look, I got to say, I think the fact that Bradley Beal is just not a star at all anymore is very good for this team.
It is.
Yeah, because he just – I don't know. I guess for some reason I was thinking him not being a star was bad. But actually it's good because Book and Katie are so good. Beal literally just doesn't need to do that much. And as a third guy who's very comfortable not caring about getting the ball too much, he's actually been real good. Like, just watching the games. I know you just went over the numbers, but just watching the games, having a guy who can create his own shot and can shoot off the catch and who's fairly athletic and can play defense, but it's really his attitude and his demeanor. Just the fact that it just seems like this guy does not care at all about getting his own shot. That is huge for them. I think it's really made them look different over the past 15 games than it did prior to that when Beal was hurt and he wasn't playing much. And it looked like this team had so many holes. It was like, oh my gosh, they need so many better wing defenders. They need so much more shooting, like three-point shooting. Hey, he's filled that hole pretty nicely, I have to say.
It's a full circle moment for SBR original listeners to see Beal and Book on the same team. When I used to call them the 18-3-3 guys.
You know what is hilarious is that those are Beal's actual numbers. He is literally 18-4-4. And that's what you used to say. You used to call him 17-4-4. Those are his literal numbers.
It's such a full circle moment. What? It's so all funny. Written, right? It's all written. But, you know, like, when I saw this team come together, I was like, oh, this is like the Expendables. It's going to be silly. It was super silly. Stallone, Statham. You know what? Add Jet Li, okay? You know what? Add Dolph Lundgren to that. How about Mickey Rourke? You know it's going to be dumb, but can it be dumb fun? And can it work? And it kind of did. Expendables 1 was, you know, kind of fun. Or maybe this is like Tropic Thunder, right? Which might make more sense because it's a big three.
I like Tropic Thunder more, which is kind of an underappreciated, right? Kind of like you think it's real dumb, and it is kind of dumb, but it's also kind of genius, right?
Yeah.
You see something that is beyond, and it was not super appreciated in its time. And as time has gone on, people have gone back to Tropic Thunder and been like, it's like so many memes now. It's like at the center of so much. Especially because, like, given Robert Downey Jr.'s role in that movie and then what he became.
Yeah. And to me, Tom Cruise's role is Grayson Allen. It's Grayson Allen. It's like the sleeper role, right? Totally a side character, but really steals the show a lot.
Steals
and that's
the
how
show.
Good Grayson's three-point shooting has been, right? So good.
Yeah.
This Phoenix team, you know, right now, they're just leaning into what they're good at. They're offense-oriented, two extremely clutch top 10 players, and then the role players just kind of getting out of their way and doing their job when called upon. And that's good. That's really good for the Suns. And
yeah,
I'm excited to see what they can be.
To be a contender, they got to get their defense a little bit tighter. They got to get into like top 6. They're top 10 right now.
They have Vogel. I think that's the good part of that. They have Frank Vogel, and Frank Vogel, we know, is a defensive-minded coach and can propel them further there.
Yes. And so I think it's possible. They got to get up to, you know, they have to have a stretch of like 20 games where they're like top six defensively. And I think they can get there. Grayson, man. Grayson. Apple bottom jeans.
All right, Joe. Last one. Chet versus Wemby. Who's the rookie of the year? Both been playing well. Chet 17-7-3 on 2.6 blocks, 54%, 39%, 78% splits. Wemby 20-10-3-1 on 3.2 blocks, 47%, 29%, 80% splits. Joe, all day or cray cray, Wemby is the rookie of the year thus far.
Ooh, man. This is tough. This is tough. I'm going to go. This is so tough. I'm going to go all day. Only because I think historically, rookie of the year is usually just about numbers.
Yeah.
It's rarely about team success. It's rarely about, you know, any of that kind of stuff. They usually just kind of look at the numbers. They kind of just look at the players. They just kind of say, like, who is better? I mean, Chet, more efficient. Wemby's efficiency has come up. And Chet has actually slowed down of late. Yeah, he has not been playing as crazily good as he was earlier on in the season. So I'm gonna give the slight edge to Wemby just because he's producing a little bit more. But look, I wouldn't care if either of these guys won it. I think they both could deserve it. But Cliff, sleeper to make a run at it, back half of the season. Brandon Miller.
Oh, he's been good.
Brandon Miller.
The last, like, couple, this month, actually. This month, actually.
He is actually a really good player. They shipped Rozier out, I think, because they have confidence in Miller. And they're like, hey, we're not going anywhere with this team. Let's just go with the young guys.
Yeah.
I think past four or five games, he's averaging, like, 25 points. And he looks just... He doesn't look like a rookie, man. I mean, catch some Hornets games. But just, if for nothing else, oh, man, what is the Hornets announcer's name? I always forget his name.
Oh, I love him. Dude is the most hyped person of all time.
Hornets announcer.
He loses his mind.
I gotta find his name because I can't not say his name. What is his name? Eric Collins. Eric Collins, the play-by-play guy. Dude is so hyped. Seriously, I love his calls, and to hear him calling for Brandon Miller and LaMelo and Miles Bridges, oh man, just catch it for that, man. That alone is worth it. But nobody's paying attention to Brandon Miller. He can play. He's athletic. He could play defense. He could shoot threes. He shoots threes way better than I thought he could. I mean, he's a very good player. So I think back half of the season, he's going to explode. He's going to probably be 20 points per game plus back half of the season. And, you know, it's going to be that, like, he's going to get a bunch of chatter, get a bunch of talk. He won't win it, but, you know, that's my sleeper dark horse.
He's a good player. I think for me, Chet and Wemby is the closest Spider-Man meme I've seen since... Duncan and Garnett. And people kept talking about who's better, Duncan or KG? Duncan or KG? Who's better? Who's the better power forward? This is the same thing. Who's the better Slender Man? Chet or Wemby? Who's the better one? You know, Spurs, worst team in the West. You know, that's the unfortunate truth. Thunder, best team in the West or second best team in the West on any given day, depending on if Minnesota goes for stats or not. You know,
oh man,
but you got to chalk that Thunder best team, SGA, Jalen Williams, the guys that have been there in the trenches. Chet is playing well though, but you can't credit everything to him. And then of course there's Wemby, where, you know, he's calling for the ball every single time, which I think is really funny. It's like it's hard not to pass to him because he's like so much taller than everybody else. They're, he's just so like, hey, give me the ball. Just give me the ball. But to me, they're still baby giraffes. Like, I'm excited for what they're going to look like in 4 years. Because, you know, when NBA trainers worked on their game specifically, worked on their body specifically, their explosiveness, their strength, it's going to look great. Because to me, they look like Giannis rookie year, right? Like, rookie year Giannis was just, like, not as strong, not as explosive, a little awkward, you know, but you saw something there. You're like, yeah. Oh, there's something. Whereas Chinwendu, there's a lot more skill there. So yeah. So it's
Giannis,
like,
wasn't like 20 and 10 his rookie
season. No. Yeah. It's way more exciting, right? Because you like see the potential, but like look how far Giannis has come, right? Look at where his body has built towards. So it's just that length, that he's a freak, right? They call him the freak for a reason, because he's a freak of nature. And these guys are also freaks of nature. Yep. The Slender Man, and I don't know how there are two of them. You know, it's just surprising. There's a Peter Parker and a Miles Morales. What? So crazy. But I'm excited to see what they do, you know, to save the city.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy the transformation players go through when they're, like, young into their, you know, third, fourth. Even, like, Dwight. Remember Dwight was, like, super skinny. And, like, super Kobe skinny. Was super skinny. Yeah, I mean, a lot of
all
these guys.
All these guys. Steph was super skinny. Yeah. Even LeBron, who
even
was, like.
Even LeBron.
Who like, when he was coming in, we were like, oh, my gosh, this guy is built like a tank.
Look at him now,
Look at Miami LeBron versus rookie LeBron.
Yeah.
I think Miami LeBron was the biggest LeBron. Because LeBron's, like, skinnier now.
Yeah. But
he
was
huge.
Yeah. It's their muscles, right? It's like their definition that changes so much from that high school, early college body to, like, the – grown man body.
Yeah. The two guys that really never packed on the pounds too much, Ingram and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, to their credit, well, maybe not to Ingram's credit, to KD's credit, he doesn't get hurt that much.
Yeah. And, you know, and we're still just waiting. We're still waiting for Zion to get his for his transformation, you know. It's coming. You know, his is the other way. It's the other way around. But, you know, we're waiting. It's going to happen.
He was the most ripped when he first came.
He's Benjamin Buttoning it. Yeah. You know, but it's reverse it.
All right. That's it. Thanks for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. There's some interesting stuff going on social, so check those out. This was SBR with Cliff and Joe. Peace! Why you gotta throw that Zion?
It was just quiet. I don't know.
Why you gotta do it?
It was quiet. I just need something to throw in there. We talk about body transformations. Why you gotta do it? You know what's funny is he looks like he's getting younger. Also, he looked really like old already. Like, and then he looks like it's like more youthful.
That's what happens when you're thinner.